Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
So the miracle of living longer, more time to spend with technology, right? More ways to experience retirement. Our physical demands diminishing these days with everything technology can offer. But think about this when you think about old age. Nearly 15% of people aged 71 or older, about 3.8 million people, have dementia. According to a disturbing new study by the RAND Corporation, by 2040, that number will balloon to 9.1 million people. Facebook isn't going to be helpful to those folks. And the direct healthcare expenses for dementia, including nursing home care, $109 billion in 2010. Hey, people are old, you say. They cost more. Well, check this out. Heart disease and cancer, the traditional health worries in old age, they're way below the costs of dealing with dementia. For cancer, it's just $77 billion annually. Each case of dementia costs $41,000 to $56,000 a year, according to RAND. And the total costs of dementia care will more than double by 2040 to a range of $379 billion to $511 billion. How are you feeling about retirement now? Joining us to discuss this is David Shank, author of The Forgetting, Alzheimer's Portrait of an Epidemic, and the senior advisor to the Cure Alzheimer's Fund. David, welcome back to the show.
Hi, John.
Also on the line is Dr. Richard Hodous, who's director of the National Institute on Aging at the National Institutes of Health. Doctor, thanks for being with us.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity to join you.
So this seems, David Shank, a little bit like a Laurie Garrett moment here. She wrote The Coming Plague about the development of biological pathogens in the environment and how humans would have to deal with it. This is an Alzheimer's coming plague that you predicted.
Well, yeah, and not just me. I was just listening to the real experts. I wish we could have been wrong. I wish that this very rigorous study could have come along and said, you know, your math was all wrong and it's much less than you thought it was going to be. But unfortunately, it's really just very, very bad. And these guys are taking very, very conservative approach, and the numbers just look really, really bad.
And conservative, Dr. Richard Hodous, because this could be an undercount here, an actual understatement of the problem?
Well, I think what's important to understanding the magnitude of the problem is that in addition to the very careful assessment of the circumstances today with those sobering numbers that you mentioned, the projection as our population ages is for an even more challenging future. It's not only the number of older people increases, but the number of younger people proportionally who are the caregivers important in taking care of them is going to decrease. So the actual challenge in caring for the increasing number of people with Alzheimer's is going to increase even beyond those sobering numbers that you've quoted.
Part of this is a strategy piece, and part of it is a medical piece. Let's take a look at the medical first. Is this something like the way humans' teeth wear out in their 50s and 60s, and that humans living longer, their brains aren't able, really, to last that long, David Shank?
That's one way to put it. Alzheimer's is, you know, we're calling it a disease, and that's because we think we can do something about it. Finally, we have to do something about it. It's just as reasonable to call it a part of aging because it is just so – not every person is susceptible to Alzheimer's, but no one is immune to Alzheimer's, and it just – it affects just a dramatic percentage of people, and the risks get worse with every year of age.
Which leads us to the sort of strategic healthcare question, Dr. Richard Hodous. We haven't really thought at all about the kinds of resources that need to be allocated to realistically deal with the lives people will have in their 70s, 80s, and 90s and beyond.
Well, you know, it's interesting that in these past 2 years, we have seen the passage of legislation and now a national Alzheimer's plan, which has three major directions, the first of which is aimed at finding means to slow, prevent, or cure Alzheimer's through biomedical research approaches. The other two deal with clinical care needs and long-term services. So in fact, I think as a country and as one of many countries now embarking upon these plans, I think we are confronting the many dimensions of approach that need to be taken.
You know, I'm wondering if we're approaching here in the kind of evolutionary biology terms some very hard questions out there about the costs of sustaining individuals who are utterly healthy in physical terms but are completely absent in medical terms. And, you know, I'm not advocating euthanasia or anything, but there are some tough questions out there, doctor, yes?
There's no question there are some difficult ethical questions. What I think is a clear imperative for us is to do what we can so that with the extension of life we have seen, we minimize the years of independence, of dependence, and extend independent life. And so the efforts ever increasing at trying to slow or arrest the process. As David mentioned, although one can regard this as a process associated with aging, not everyone progresses the same pace. There are reasons to identify specific molecular and genetic underpinnings, which give us clues of a kind we have never had before, so that our hope is now coupled with some real optimism we can begin to make a difference.
Well, we can sort of think that technology will save us here, David Shank, and that there may be some sort of treatment that would stall or eliminate dementia. But barring that, these percentages threaten to really completely reorient our whole notion of morality, ethics, quality of life, what independence is, what dependence is, who caregivers are, who needs to pay for it, everything.
Well, they do, but there is an alternative, John, and that is we can all step up and get more scared and more angry about this and put, frankly, just a lot more resources into stopping or at least slowing down the disease. If we can slow down the onset of the disease by 5 years, we cut the numbers in half. That's obviously huge, not just emotionally and on the family toll, but economically as a society. So we have to do that. It's important that people know out there that of the six major causes of disease, only Alzheimer's is on the rise, and that's because of this aging population that you already talked about. We have to do something about that, and we have to do it now.
Stalling it for 5 years, Dr. Richard Hoda, is a realistic mission?
I think it is indeed realistic. I think we've seen an acceleration of what we understand about the underlying process. And while not wanting to by any means give false promise, I think we can say that with the resources that are increasingly, we hope, going to be addressed to this problem, that we can really make a difference of that magnitude.
Dr. Richard Hodes is director of the National Institute on Aging at the National Institutes of Health, and David Shank is author of The Forgetting Alzheimer's, Portrait of an Epidemic, and a senior advisor to the Cure Alzheimer's Fund. David and Richard, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank
John.
You.